Welcome to Trash in the Attic, the podcast about stuff. I'm Charlie Gunn, and in each episode, I task a musician with having a rummage around in their loft to find some hidden gems from their past. This week, I'm so unbelievably excited to say that we have Julian Baker on the podcast. For anyone unfamiliar with Julian's work, she's the indie rock artist behind the tremendously good albums Sprained Ankle, Turn Out the Lights, and Little Oblivions. But she's also part of the coolest supergroup on the planet, Boy Genius, with Phoebe Bridgers and Lucy Dacus. The band just marked their long-awaited comeback with three new tracks and an excellent Rolling Stone cover, which basically broke the internet. As we patiently await the release of their debut album, The Record, on March 31st, dive into this chat with Julian where we got a little bit deeper than anticipated. Hi, Julian. Thanks so much for joining me on the podcast today. Very excited to have you.
Yeah, it's my pleasure. Thank you for having me.
So for the purposes of this podcast, I've asked you to have a rummage around your house or your loft or your attic and find five items from your past that tell some kind of great story. So first up, what's your first item?
I don't know if all, this is the one I'm most confident about. An object from my childhood that elicits a strong memory. I had this bike. It was like a dirt bike, so no, or not a dirt bike, but like a trick bike, a BMX bike. Yeah. It had no gears. My dad found it in a dumpster behind his work.
Wow, and he, that is a like, good find.
I know. Well, and he just brought it home, and then my mom was all paranoid, so we like called the Memphis police and we were like, did anybody report a stolen bike? And of course it's like, I didn't realize at the time this bike is like busted, so no one's gonna report it stolen. Somebody probably just threw it away because they were like, nah, I don't need this thing. But I rode it around forever, and the like all the kids would in my neighborhood would call me dumpster bike. Well, because okay, so like the tires were so, like at one point the tires got super flat. And it was like, but I didn't know any better, right? Like, it was the only bike I had ever had aside from, like, the small kid's bike that I had learned to ride on. And so, and that I'd ridden on with my parents. And it ran out of air in the tires. And my friends would, like, hear me coming from around the corner. It would be like,
here comes it was dumpster crazy. Bike.
Here comes dumpster bike. Yeah, it was just me, like, chugging along on my little BMX bike, trying to do wheelies and falling. It was a rough time for me in middle school, in the neighborhood.
That's
yeah.
So sad. I thought I can relate a little bit, because my dad found me a skateboard in a dumpster.
Yeah! Also, see? Dad's resourceful.
Yeah, exactly. And, yeah, my friends were like, that's not a real skateboard. That's a toy skateboard.
And I was what? Like, well, what's did you have one of those little penny boards?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, no, but it wasn't even one of those small ones. It was like a really, it was a big chunky one. But they were, I think they just knew it had come from
they were like, the trash. We can tell. That's not a real skateboard. Yeah, it's okay. I had a skateboard when I was a kid that turned into a scooter. It was super fucking lame. Yeah, no, it was so late. It had like flames on it and shit. Oh god, pardon me, I don't know if I can swear. You're yeah fine. I won't anymore.
no you're fine, that's okay. So did you, and how good did you get at BMXing? Did you learn some
not
sweet tricks?
I was horrible. I have like I still have like scars all over my body because I tried to do like the BMX thing and I was just not coordinated enough for it, man. And then I tried, like, I used to go to the skate park and like try and fail to skateboard. I was super bad at that too.
I
just
awful.
Yeah, and then I just was like, it's a lot more rewarding for me to just sit in my house and play guitar alone with no one watching me, so I'm just gonna get good at that. Because when you go to a skate park, it's like everybody's watching you, waiting for you to mess up. And so I was like, I'm just going to play guitar alone in my room. That sounds better.
Yeah, it is actually a really intense thing to learn. Because like most other stuff, you can practice a little bit. I guess you can kind of go up and down the sidewalk or whatever on a skateboard or a bike. But like going
ramps?
To the skate park is so intense.
Oh my God. Yeah, I know. It's so, it's like,
particularly as a girl, I think.
particularly as a girl, because everybody's just like waiting for you to fail. Yeah. And also, like, I'm a very hesitant person, and part of like the skill of dropping into a bowl, or like having confidence in your momentum, like riding a bike around on a ramp, is like just going for it. And I was just always scared of everything, so I was like and then I would just fall. I just fall over. Yeah. Can't commit.
I watched, yeah, actually talk about skateboarding some more. I watched a video on, I found this Instagram a couple of days ago, and it was this kid, I swear it said she was 18 months old, and she was like in a half pipe, like,
no!
Like, what? Imagine how good she's gonna be when she's, like,
I know,
four.
She had that. Those people have like skater parents, though.
Yeah.
My parents were like, I don't know, you just go outside. Here's a bike I found in the dumpster. I got a better bike. My parents didn't deprive me. I don't want it to come off like that. I think it's just.
The other thing, actually, now I'm really thinking of all the stuff, the random
Love
stuff
it.
That I acquired. I got this Game Boy from a car boot sale. Do you have car boot sales in the US?
I've only been to a couple. It's really not like there was this place in Memphis, like kind of like an empty lot where people used to just like set up and sell sneakers out of their car.
Oh.
And I would always get like wild, because back in the day it used to be, I can't believe I just said back in the day. I'm like 25, acting like I'm old. Back in the day, when I was a young scene kid hanging out in front of Hot Topic, it was the fashion to have like bright neon, like crazy sneakers and stuff.
Okay.
But I couldn't get like $50, $60 sneakers from like wherever the hell, like Journeys. So I would just like, when I saw people selling like weird off-brand Nikes out of their trunk of their car, I would just like skirt, pull over and be like, what's up? Like, yeah, but so you got a Game Boy from a car boot sale.
So I guess maybe, I mean, that sounds a little bit different than sneaker selling, maybe. This is such a sort of where, more like a yard sale.
Okay, word.
Yeah.
It's not like everybody comes and like pitches their wares.
Well, it's like, it is, but it's mostly like old trash that like you're
okay.
selling. Word. Or like old okay. stuff. I don't know.
Okay, sure.
But, I don't know why I'm assuming that you don't know what a car boot sale is. You probably just do.
Sounds like a yard sale.
So
yeah.
It's kind of like a yard sale. But I had this Game Boy, and I'd wanted a Game Boy so much, and my dad found one, and I think it was like £5 or something rather than like
Love
£200
it.
New.
Sure.
But it didn't have the back panel that held the batteries on. And
Love
so, like,
it.
I
Neither did mine. I put a piece of duct tape.
Yes.
I put a piece of duct tape. I would literally Game Boy Advance is on here.
Oh,
it's
no
one
way.
Of my
okay.
items. Yeah, I'm skip it to the front. Let's talk about Game Boys. So you had to
Yeah, so I initially put the batteries in and it wouldn't turn on, and I was so upset. And then my dad cut me a perfect square of like cardboard to fit in the back, like this amazing
such
hack.
A dad. That's I feel now kindred with you, because I feel like our dads were similar, where it's like if you have a problem and you're like, oh, I need to get like a new one of these, or I need to like replace this, like my dad would be like, no you don't, and then just like
fix it.
Like I have so many memories of like my, like I don't know, everything, like my shoelaces would come undone and I'd be like, oh, I need new shoelaces because they're like fraying, and he'd just like burn the plastic closed with a lighter, and I was just like, man, how do y'all know how to fix everything?
Yeah.
Like, what did you play on your Game Boy Advance? Now that we're, I'll use Game Boy Advance as my second one.
Well, actually, it was a regular Game Boy.
Oh,
I'm
wow!
Old.
I would okay. It was Game Boy, just Game Boy or Game Boy Color?
Not even Game Boy Color.
Whoa! Oh my gosh, Dark Ages. No, I'm just kidding.
I'm
kidding.
Your mind. So I played Lemmings. And
oh, God bless Lemmings.
Mario.
Nobody remembers them. Oh, Mario, okay.
And, oh, Kirby's Dream Land. Did you have
Never
that?
Never got into Kirby. No, we had Kirby for sure, but I only knew about Kirby because, like, once I got older and started playing, like, Smash, like, Nintendo 64 stuff with my friends, like, people would use Kirby, and I'd be like, what is this lame pink guy?
Oh, it was
I
so
played,
cute, though.
I know. See, like, I feel like I picked Pokemon. I had Pokemon Ruby and Pokemon Sapphire and Pokemon Yellow for the color, but so it like stuck out quite a bit because I had gotten all these like secondhand games that didn't fit, like the cartridge didn't quite fit, so I could, right. I don't know, whatever. But I played Pokemon because I was like, I was such a, I don't want to say I was a weird kid and shame kids that are into Pokemon now, but I was just like this, just a nerd kid with like a binder, like a alphabetized color-coded binder of Pokemon cards. Swear to God. And you know what makes me even more upset is like I asked my mom where they were when I was in college because I was like, of course, I had like long grown out of Pokemon cards. And then somebody was like, yo, random people on the internet will buy that for like $200. And I was like, what? I have like a whole bunch of holographic cards. I'm going to sell them all and buy some music gear. And then my mom was like, oh, I think I sold them in a yard sale. And I was like, you fool. Like, what have you done?
I love
I'm just
that.
Kidding. I'm my like mom's not a fool.
That to my mom. Like, oh hey, gosh, where's my thing?
Oh,
where's
my God.
Oh, I
yeah,
threw
exactly.
That out.
Yeah. I'm like, come
she's
on.
Like, you don't live here.
Yeah, I guess it's like I don't really have a right because I had like let it, you know, gather dust in a box for so long. But yep, that had a binder full of Pokemon cards, and I would just sit there and play. I mean, for hours. It was so, I can't even imagine the time that I sunk into that thing.
I don't actually know how you play that.
What Pokemon?
Like, what do you do? It's like
what you walk around. What you're trying to do is like, oh my gosh, this is great. I can't wait for people who play it because I have like, there's a couple of my roommates are like gamers and I've just never gotten into video games in adulthood, but they are like still into Pokemon and still into like card and stuff, and it's very gratifying for them. But I come at it from a very childish point of view, so it's like you basically just walk around and you talk to people and they give you tiny bits of information that you piece together, and then you collect Pokemon. And then you, which are like all different species of animals that you trap inside of a ball, which now seems kind of inhumane. And then you make them fight to get them better at fighting, which also seems kind of messed up. And then you go to a gym and you fight some dude at a gym. And then you get like a badge. And then it's basically just like any other game where you do a bunch of small tasks to prepare you for like a big... like milestone task, yeah, boss, and then you get to the super boss and then you win. But yeah, you just walk through a bunch of tall grass and get attacked by like five animals that look like rats every two steps you take, and then eventually you beat the game.
I'm into it. I'm really into it. I did play that walking around version a bit.
The walking around version. Oh, you're talking about how do you play Pokemon cards is what you were asking.
Oh, is that what you... No.
I never knew how. I figured out how to play the video game. I collected the cards. Kids in my class would play Yu-Gi-Oh!
Yes.
And I was like, yeah. Oh my God. Kids were so, like, I remember in fourth grade, it was like... everybody was just like gnashing their teeth until recess to have like a huge Yu-Gi-Oh! Tournament. But here's the thing is like, there are kids who like would really grasp that, and they would like know all the rules, like kids that understood later in high school things like D&D and Magic the Gathering, but I never could. I just don't do well with like really specific like rigid instructions, and so like I would just make shit up. Like I would play with my friends playing Pokemon cards and we would just be like, I don't know, like it's half imaginary. So I was never like one of those kids that went to the card store on the weekends and did tournaments. I was never that good.
Never that
cool. I love
cool,
everything
you
I talk about. Yeah, never that cool. I love everything I talk about from my childhood. I'm just like, yeah, I did this. I wasn't ever good at it. Just like nothing. I was good at nearly nothing.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't think I was good at anything. At least you actually have something that you're really good at now.
variably, but yeah, maybe. Oh my
gosh.
When
did you start? When did you like start doing music properly? Were you super young?
No. I mean, well, my parents got me like a little Yamaha keyboard, and I enjoyed it. I liked making sounds, and it had this thing where you could like teach yourself songs with like light up keys. And then they put me in lessons, and I of course was horrible at lessons because I couldn't bring myself to figure out how to read sheet music.
That is so hard, though. I feel like I really think they should have made that easier by now.
I know. So hard. I know. Well, then it's like, I don't know. I now regret not ever having been in band or anything. But again, it's just like I was so reluctant to adhere to like authority structures telling me how to do stuff when I was a kid, which is still a fatal flaw. But yeah, and then I just sat around. I would like teach myself guitar on my dad's guitar because somebody in my fourth grade class, Will Wallace, wherever you are, Will Wallace, told me that piano was lame. I'm just kidding, Will. I hope you're doing fine. I haven't talked to him since fourth grade. I just have this memory of being like, I play piano and it's like so cool. And he was like, piano is lame. And I was like, okay, I guess I'm going to learn guitar.
Will Wallace, isn't that what Braveheart is called?
Yeah, it is. But Will, I swear to God, it's like the Michael Bolton character from Office Space where he's like, oh my God, stop telling me. Yeah, just this freaking kid, Will Wallace. He taught me how to do my shoes in bar laces. Was that ever a thing for you? Like, yeah. Instead of doing the regular, he taught me how to do my shoes in bar laces, and he told me about the movie Jackass. It was like that lane of kids that I would hang out with. Just like the proto, like the baby versions of what would then become like skater punk kids in high school. Yeah. But we were in like middle school. Dang, sorry. I got way carried away with that. I want to change one of my objects because when you were talking about your mom throwing away stuff that that you were like heartbroken about later, when I was a kid, I had this glow-in-the-dark Star Wars fanny pack with Obi-Wan Kenobi on it. And it's like, can you imagine if I had that now? It'd be so cool. I was in high school. And I was like, Mom, where is that, like, where's that Obi-Wan glow-in-the-dark fanny pack? And she's like, oh, I don't know. And she probably threw it out or sold it. And I was just like, no! I was like, I don't know if you ever got into Star Wars, but, like, it was kind of the same thing with me and Star Wars that it was with me and Pokemon, where other kids, like, memorized the timeline and the lore and the canon of it all. And I basically just watched it as, like, raw material for imagining stuff later. And then all my friends...
That's neat, though.
That's really cool. I had no idea. I couldn't tell you, like, how anybody was, like, interrelated or, like... What, like, all the names of all the minor characters. I was just like, that battle imagery is cool. And then I would go outside in elementary school with my other friends who had like toy lightsabers from Walmart, and we would just like run around and have a good time.
Did you actually just like beat each other over the head with them?
I feel like we were mostly pretty diplomatic when we were kids because we didn't want to like get in trouble. We used to, when we got old enough to shoot air pellets at each other, like airsoft guns.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, then, but those don't really hurt, you know what I mean? It's just kind of annoying to have an older kid ride by you on a bicycle and shoot you with the airsoft gun.
Yeah, I've never been shot by an air pellet. I hope that now I won't ever be shot by an air pellet.
I don't see a reason at this stage for you to be shot by an air pellet unless it's a freak accident. Yeah. It doesn't hurt. I never had a paintball gun and I wanted one so bad.
I went paintballing once and I hated it. Dude, hated it so much.
Honestly, like, well, it's funny because when I was a kid, like now, it's almost... Like, I don't want to be, like, emotional and sensitive about it, but I was so into war stuff when I was a kid. Well, I was, like, when I was maybe, like, 10 and younger, so I wasn't even in middle school. Because once I like, saw Green Day on VH1, and I learned about punk rock music, and then I was like, I'm anti-war, screw the government, in sixth grade. But before that, but before I was radicalized by the album American Idiot, I was like super into like Medal of Honor video games and like Call of Duty and paintball and like fake toy guns and stuff. which of course like my mom hated because I was like a girl and I was just out here like crawling through the mud, which wasn't very like gender or heteronormatively gender aligned, but
I just hated it because it was painful. Also, I only did it once, and I think I had like.
Were you with a group?
Yeah, I had a really bad cold, and I felt
that's crap.
And I was just like in this ditch, being like, "What am I doing?" And then someone shot me, and I was like, "Ow, this is horrible."
It's not worth it. Like now, I can't. It's funny because like I have friends that are into paintballing now, or like would go on tour. Like if they had a day off, they'd go to like a paintball range. But like. Now I can't imagine what would be interesting to me about it, because I'm like, man, I could just run or hike in the woods, but not be being shot at. Like, you know what I mean? I could just be running. Yeah, the thrill. It's the thrill of the game.
Also, I think things hurt more when you get older, so it would actually be quite terrifying.
Interesting opinion that things hurt more when you're older.
That's not based in science. I've just made that up.
fair enough.
So the fanny pack, that was prized possession.
It was a prized possession. Yeah. Also because I feel like I had so many like pieces of like small luggage pieces that were so prized to me. I had like there was the fanny pack that I wore for a while like to school, and then there was I had like one of those classic goth kid messenger bags with like Invader Zim on it, and in this is okay, this is a great transition. I have on here another item that I was trying to think of things that I like that weren't like CDs or just like musical instruments, because basically once I got into playing guitar, it was like all the things that were prized to me were related to music. I just like I became that kid or whatever, which I'm glad, because you know I still love music very much. But I used to carry around in my messenger bag in sixth grade with my little page boy hat and black Killswitch Engage hoodie, I'm just really painting the picture for you. I was so weird. I'd carry around Edgar Allan Poe's complete works.
No way.
Why? Couldn't tell you. Well, I guess I could. Because I guess, like...
Yeah, so Edgar Allan like Poe, sort of like slightly surrealist poetry. Am I right?
Surrealist poetry, and then he also wrote, like, a number of... He was, like... creepy Baltimore like I'm gonna get this wrong, maybe 1800s like short story guy, but it was like it was just very dark writing, and I think that for some reason he like occupied this cult fandom space in goth kids that were only superficially aware of gothic literature, or like of like dark literature. You know what I mean? Because there's so many things, like now I'm like, dang, why wasn't I reading something that was actually super depressing, like All Quiet on the Western Front? But you know, you have what's available to you transmitted through the culture you're around. So I carried around Edgar Allan Poe's complete works. I dressed up as Edgar Allan Poe for like a thing at school, and it was, I never got made fun of more in my life. I had a fake mustache. I had, like, every other girl in my class was doing, like, literally, there's like, one girl did, like, Jackie Onassis Kennedy, and I was just like, oh my god.
What was
like,
the theme? Just generic the theme was like, dress?
No, it was, like, you had to give a report on, like, a historical figure. So I showed up in, like, a trench coat and a top hat and a fake mustache and a little fake Halloween decoration raven. And I, like, gave my speech about Edgar Allan Poe
An author.
Yeah, I know, it's adorable, but also it's just like, oh my god. Like, I cringe inwardly. I'm just like, god, you are so... And it's like, I don't know, it's not like I don't... Like, I wouldn't call it Edgar Allan Poe, like, my favorite literary figure now.
Maybe at the time.
At the time, totally, yeah. I was obsessed with, like, the darkness and, you know... Just like every
How did you even discover it?
I think my, I mean, honestly, like, my mom shared a lot of literature with me, and that's I know cool. that we had like, read together, like, his poems and stories, but it wasn't until I, like, got on, like, MySpace and started, like, going to the mall by myself and, like, seeing the prototypes of, like, whatever would be memes and message boards and stuff, until I started, like, just absorbing certain information, like, you know, the kids that listen to the music I like have checkered Vans, and they wear red and black striped ties over a t-shirt for some reason, and yeah. they read Edgar Allan Poe. So, like, that's what I feel like I dove super hard into carrying around this, like, tome. It was literally an anthology. It was, like, so big and stupid, and I was like, why am I carrying this whole anthology around? Yeah, I was a child. It's okay.
Were you super into MySpace?
Oh, Lord, yes. Well, like, and it's funny because I didn't even, like, think of myself as being super into MySpace. I was just as into MySpace as all of my peers were. But, like, honestly, I don't want to do yet another, like, kids these days. But I know it sounds so old, but it's like you had to be, like, pretty damn good at basic coding to have a cool MySpace page. You know what I mean? Like, it's just funny now to me that, like, there is a stigma around, like, whatever, girls who are, like, gamers or, like, girls who are coders, and all of the super popular people at my school, girls and boys, but, you know, it's like girls are the people that I was, like, spending the night with because I grew up in Tennessee and it would have been taboo otherwise. So, like, all the girls at, like, sleepovers are, like, sitting in front of their laptops just coding away like they're on NCIS. It was so crazy, just, like, building these very elaborate MySpace pages, and it's just, like, a really hyper specific skill to the era that you would not expect like everybody to have. But then when I got into, like, my required computer science, I was like, I already know literally all of this. Like, in college, I was just like, yeah, dude, I had to have a cool MySpace page. I already know how to do this.
That's like, so funny. I want to see, like, imagine your kind of classic teen movie where you're like, oh, the girls are having a sleepover.
And then it's like us just coding. And I'm like, oh, man, how do you get it to scroll? And they're like, okay, so you have to do, like, bracket, command. Like, I'm just like, oh, my God, this is, like, actually very difficult.
So what is your next item?
Oh my gosh, so what have we done? We've done, I have on my list Busted Bike, Game Boy Advance, we did Fanny Pack, and we did Edgar Allan Poe Complete Works. I had a pair of hideous camouflage cargo pants that I wanted to wear every single day that I would fight with my parents so hard about, because they were like, at first they were like, you should wear something nicer to school, and I was like, no, this is who I am. And then they were like, you should just wear, like, anything else, but I was just, like, really attached to these camo pants. I got in such a fight about it. I was like, I don't know, they were just like the only, I guess, like, I was so young that I hadn't really been exposed to expressing your belonging to a subculture or to a counterculture with, like, your dress, like, in a way that made sense. So I just picked something that I was like, this is cool, this is weird, and this is what I want to wear. And my parents were like, these are ratty and awful. And then I would, like, have complete breakdowns and be like, I was such an intense child. I was like, let me wear what I want to wear. You're stifling my creativity. And, like, try to run away and stuff. Oh, I'd be like, oh,
I
my God.
I love it when little kids try and run away. I think it's so
I tried
cute.
To run away. My parents did not think it was cute. They were like, are you kidding me? Yeah, no, I tried to run away a lot. But also I think, oh gosh, I don't want to make it like super sad, but I also think it was just like, it was something at the time, like, I think I had like a nascent awareness of queerness and like not wanting to be, not wanting to adhere to like the feminine standard of dress and beauty, or like the heteronormative feminine standard of, like how you should dress and what you should look like and how much you should weigh and what you should do and listen to. But I didn't know how to articulate any of those things. And so I think that like as a child with no emotional tools to say like, I don't feel like I fit in anywhere because I don't like girls' clothes and boys' clothes, or I'm gonna put those in quotes, like boys' clothes and girls' clothes. Like I don't like girls' clothes and boys' clothes are like off limits to me and I get made fun of wearing those as well. And so it's like, I wanted to wear this one thing that I felt comfortable in that I liked aesthetically, because I felt like safe and good in it. And then like, it was so much less about me being a disobedient kid, and just being like a little, you know, like a little, I'm still trying to swear. Just like being difficult and not wanting to obey the rules. And it was more about me being like, I want to escape. I want to run away and like escape this very limited world in which I feel like I only have certain options of like how I'm allowed to exist. And I don't feel comfortable with any of them. But you know what it sounds like now? It sounds like I'm intellectualizing something that I, did wrong. I like, I was just like, instead of just being like, I was a piece of crap little kid that was, didn't want to listen to my parents cause I was stubborn. I'm like, well, actually it has to do with like the queerness. It's like, I'm
I didn't.
It's a little of both, maybe.
Well, maybe, but I think it must be really hard when you just know that something is really important to you and you perhaps can't quite understand why, like you say, or you're not quite there yet with the with your thoughts as to why it like matters to you, and then to your parents they're like, well, it's a pair of pants, like why, like no.
Yeah,
like,
exactly.
And can't, don't really realize the significance of
true of yeah that. And I feel like that happened to me a ton, like especially with clothing, and yeah, it just it's just like a really extreme thing. Like I feel like I used to just like dress super like weird and have like a lot of buttons and stuff. Like that's why it was easy for me to transition from that into like punk culture and like cut my hair short because girls had long hair and I like gave myself a mohawk and like wore all these denim jackets with a whole bunch of buttons because it was, that was like the norms of beauty or whatever.
Did you get picked on at school?
Did I get picked on at school? Yeah. No, I mean, every kid gets picked on at school. And honestly, it's not as, I think it's not so, like, singular as some kids are bullies and some kids get picked on. Because I got picked on quite a bit and called weird and ugly and like stuff, but then it's like I would also pick on kids that were more social pariahs than me. Like I was you know, I hung out with the skater kids. I hate admitting that, it feels so gross, but I would hang out with like, you know, the skater kids and the like weird like I'm into Avenged Sevenfold and stuff kids with fingerless gloves and get picked on by popular kids, and then we would flick spitballs at kids that were even less, that were like, I don't know, like in just like other types of nerds, because everybody is trying to punch down to give themselves some sort of power, and it's so sad. But yeah, I don't want it to be like, oh, I was picked on as a kid. It's like everybody was picked on, everybody was insecure, and then you maybe grow up. It was less in high school. In high school was okay. I think everybody sort of like mellowed out for the most part. I felt like I was rowdy in high school though.
Wait.
I was like, yeah, I wanted to fight everybody all the time. But I was like 5 feet tall.
Where do you think that comes from?
Oh, I don't know. Wow, is this about objects or is this about? You're just like, You've got your little therapist pad. You're like, and where do you think that comes from? All right. No, actually, like, I mean, it's worth saying, but I do think that, like, this still ties in maybe with the camouflage theme, but, like, end with the being a, being into, like, war and the stuff that my friends
say,
around the neighborhood, the friends I wanted to hang out with, that were doing the things that I was doing, that were playing, in the mud and doing the things that were permissible to boys, were boys. And so I feel like I grew up around, like, trying to surround myself with friends who were mostly male. And then when you're given such a finite, like, I keep saying binary, but it's true. Like, the world is framed in a very binary way. It's good and bad, you know, when you're a kid, or when I was a kid. Good and bad, things that boys and girls do. There's, like, America is good. For me, like, any country in the Middle East is bad. You know what I mean? Like, it's like things like that get so distilled down to their, like, to a very toxic oversimplification. But I'm only presented with these two identities to be, you know, like, there's boys' clothes and then there's girls' clothes. And I get made fun of for being a girl in boys' clothes, and I get made fun of for being a girl who doesn't look right in girls' clothes. So then it's like, if I want to pick which of these I feel more comfortable inhabiting, I'm like, all right, I'm just going to try to assimilate my identity into a male role because I don't feel like I fit within the feminine ideal. So since I don't have any idea of gender being a spectrum, since I... until I'm in high school don't have any recognition of my own queerness, I'm just like, okay, I'll just be like boys act and do what all my male friends do. And then all my male friends, whenever there was a conflict, would be like, let's fight. And so it's like, still, like, when I got into high school, I was just like, there's a conflict, let's fight. Like, I don't know. And it's funny because now I would consider myself like a pacifist, and I would, like, I really you know, like, oppose physical violence, and I would consider myself a person who prizes nonviolence as an effective mode of, like, solving conflicts and of activism. But yeah, there was something in my brain when I was a little kid, I was just like scrappy, just like, just gonna, like, fight all the time.
Well, I guess if you get the urge now, you can just go play paintball and, like, annihilate someone.
Yes, I can. I'm just gonna, like, I don't even like doing that. I was like making the gun.
I'm sorry, I took that really deep. We were talking
it's
about
okay
that. But it's so interesting. It's so interesting. And, you know, it, I think, like, objects do, like, mean so much, and that's kind of why I like this format sometimes, because you never really know where it's going to go.
No, totally. I mean, I think, you know, at the beginning you were like, you know, I'll ask you questions within this silly format, but it leads to conversations like these where you're like, okay, why did I imbue a ratty old pair of camouflage pants with so much emotional significance when I was a child? It's like, because they represented something for me, you know, everything represented something for someone, and, like, you know, that's the point of this podcast, so. I like it. Thanks for taking it deep. I value that.
Okay, dude. Well, that was an amazing selection of items. And I feel like I really know you loads better now. I'm glad.
Yeah, maybe so much better than you thought.
I'm just really glad that we both got to talk about Game Boy, because I've not thought about that in a long time.
I know. Now I'm going to dig mine out and play some Pokemon Ruby.
Okay, Julian, thank you so much for your time. And,
you're welcome.
I really appreciate it.
Yeah, I appreciate it too. It was a blast. Yeah.
Talk to you soon.
So there we have it. Shout out to anyone whose parents have found them presents in rubbish bins. Go and listen to everything that Julian and Boy Genius have ever made, her brilliant albums, the three tracks that are out right now, and hopefully there'll be more on the way before the album comes on March 31st. I'm just going to be doing that on loop until then. This podcast was made by The 45. For music news, interviews and reviews from all your favourite artists, including Julian, Lucy and Phoebe, visit the45.com. I've been Charlie Gunn. Cheers for listening.